You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins today with Marlins broadcaster Glenn Geffner. Glenn, thanks for taking some time to chat here.
You're with me, Matthew.
Obviously, there's one big story that dwarfs everything else around the Marlins right now. They came to terms on a deal that's either 13 or 6 years with Giancarlo Stanton, and there's a lot to kind of break down in it. I'm kind of interested in some of the specifics about the deal. For the club, how big a deal was committing to that no-trade clause to Stanton?
It's something they've been reluctant to do in the past, but I think what everybody acknowledges is that you're talking about a very unique talent. This is a once-in-a-lifetime talent, so as they say, there are exceptions made to every rule, and I don't see much of an indication that the club is going to bend this rule in the future, but in this case, they weren't going to let that stand between them and getting Giancarlo signed for the long haul.
There was a lot of talk in advance that this would be potentially a very creative deal. In my talks with Joe Fusaro over the past weeks, all kinds of ideas of unusual and kind of creative things they might do. And one of the things that stands out, if the club maybe compromised a little on that, it seems like Stanton compromised a good bit on these first few years. He certainly obviously could have made a lot more money just going to arbitration. I know he talked about that some, but did his side view that as a fairly significant concession as far as getting this deal done?
Well, I think it's a concession, but at the same time, it speaks to what Giancarlo's main goal is here and what the team's main goal is here. They share one thing in common. They're both looking to win. They're both looking to win as quickly as possible and looking to sustain that ability to win for as long as possible. So in basically taking $30 million over the next 3 years he could have made probably around $50 to $60 million over the next 3 years had he played it out in arbitration and into his first year of free agency. He's given the Marlins a lot of flexibility to go out and do more. And while there's a very good nucleus of talent here, when you look at certainly Stanton and Christian Yelich, Marcel Ozuna, Danny Echevarria, Jose Fernandez, other pitchers you go down the line with this team, the bottom line is that group, minus Jose for most last year, was still a 77-win team in 2014. So you've got to add some pieces still. And if Stanton was going to make $25, $30 million this year, you weren't going to have the flexibility to do that. By taking less in the next 3 years, Giancarlo has given the Marlins the opportunity and now basically the challenge to go out and spend that money elsewhere and further improve the ball club.
There's been a lot of talk over these past couple of days about the sort of getting him to buy in. And the way it's been framed is that's really while they were working on that for quite a while, that maybe really a lot did change in the last month with some conversations and some meetings. Do you think that really did happen sort of drastically within the last month, that they really sat down and convinced him, or was there also an element of him just kind of seeing what you and I and anybody sees, that this roster is kind of coming together and there's something interesting building here?
I think part one is what he saw over the course of the 2014 season. He liked the direction this team is headed in. He loves his manager, Mike Redmond. He's a big fan of Dan Dennick and Mike Hill at the top of the baseball operations department. He loves the young talent around him. But again, he knows we still need more. Having this talent is great. It's a great jumping off point, but we need more. And what they're able to convince him over the course of the last couple of weeks is they're committed now to going out and doing more, not just the long term, but in the short term as well. Because I think it's interesting, Matthew, when you look at the National League East right now, this is a division that for a long time seems very much out of reach, with the Nationals being as loaded as they are, with the Braves having been as consistent as they've been, with the Phillies having had that great run. But now the Phillies have taken a huge step back. The Braves seem to be coming back to the pack quite a bit. The Mets are surging. You know, the Nationals remain loaded, though they've got some major free agent questions to answer over the next two off seasons. And now the Marlins have a chance to jump right in there. It really is an opportunity for the Marlins and the Mets, as I look at it, two teams that haven't been at the top of the division, to make their move right now. Stanton sees that, the Marlins see that, and now we'll see how the rest of the offseason plays out.
What do you think they said to him? Because, again, I get the impression there have been conversations. It's not like they started out of nowhere. What do you think, and again, I realize to some extent this is speculation, but what do you think you can say to a guy to convince somebody who's expressed skepticism beyond what he sees in front of his face that, hey, this is real?
I think they said this is where our payroll is going to be in 2015. This is where it's going to be in the years to follow. And now we're committed to going out and trying to find a back foot behind some cleanup spot. Maybe an Adam LaRoche to play first base. It's been reported they've made a offer to LaRoche, who would be a great fit in this lineup, offensively and defensively. I think they told him we're going to look to add another arm to the starting rotation with Jose coming back mid-season, that's about as good a mid-season pickup as anything baseball is going to make. But let's add another established arm to this rotation as well to go along with what you already have in Henderson Alvarez, Jared Cozart, and Kohler, and Eovaldi, and the other pitchers we've seen who are still going to get more experience and get better as the years go on. So I think they've told him. They've more specifically told him than they've told us, but they've told him what their vision is for the next couple of years, for this offseason moving forward, and obviously bought into it.
Do you get the impression that the payroll will be, I mean, obviously it'll vary some by who's available, but there will be a fairly steady increase over the coming years as this, again, as the idea is this kind of comes together with some better clubs?
Well, I don't think there's any question that it's going to go up. As for what it's going to be specifically, I couldn't answer that question. That's answered above my pay grade, but I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think they had to make sure that Giancarlo understood that and believed that. And again, this is why now after 6 years, he has that opt-out. And if they don't do what they say they're going to do, Giancarlo can walk away after 6 years. And yeah, he'd be leaving a lot of money on the table, no doubt, but 6 years from now, he's still only just going into his age 31 season. And he'd still command a hefty salary in the free agent market. So he's got that protection after 6 seasons as well if things aren't going the way they tell him they expect him to go.
And one last thing on the deal that you brought up, the structure of that opt-out or player option or whatever you want to call it was really striking to me. That would be an enormous deal to walk away from, and I think we can all envision something in baseball changing over the next 6 years to where he is, in fact, conceivably at that point, a $350 million over 8 year player. I mean, I don't think anybody could have seen what's happened over the last 10 years. But with that said, I had this thought that it's actually possible that he just plays out that, again, whatever you call it, opt-out player option with the structure of that. It is conceivable that he's at a place in 6 years where the smartest thing is to stick around through the deal. I mean, did it strike you that way, or do you think it's at this point almost a foregone conclusion that even if he stays with the Marlins, that deal gets reworked somehow?
No, I don't think anything is a foregone conclusion at this point. You know, 2 weeks ago, nobody would have believed we'd be sitting here talking about 13 years and $325 million. 5 years ago, nobody thought we'd be talking about a $300-plus million contract. So who knows where the economics of the game are going to take us over the next 6 years. But I think it's going to play out on the field more than in the business offices for Stanton over the next 6 years. Is this team going to continue to make the commitment to winning? Is it going to win? Is he going to love his time here? Is he going to raise World Series trophies in Miami? If he does that, to me, everything else takes care of itself. If he's not happy with the direction of the team after 6 years, yeah, he can walk away. But you know, it's easy to say it's not about the money when you've just signed a $325 million contract, but you really believe it. And listening to Giancarlo talk yesterday, and look, we've got to know him over the last 5 years. This guy wants to win. He's got the burning desire to work and to do whatever it takes to win and to lift everybody up around him. And I really do believe, as silly as it sounds to say, it's about much more than the years. It's about much more than the money. This guy just wants to win. And to me, the most striking thing he said in the press conference yesterday was, he said, people think I just won the lottery. He said, no, when you win the lottery, you quit your job, you move wherever you want to move, and that's it, and you enjoy the rest of your life. For me, this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. The work now is just beginning. The expectations are just now beginning, and this is really where it launches for Giancarlo and this team. So, you know, we'll see how the next 6 years play out. We all know 6 years is a long time. A lot can happen between now and then. There are going to be some ups. There are going to be some downs. But, you know, in the meantime, let's enjoy the ride.
And you mentioned Adam LaRoche, who is a name that does seem to be out there and does seem, like you know, to be kind of an interesting fit. Beyond him, what do you think happens between now and January or February or March or whenever it all gets done to turn this club from an interesting right on the fringe of contention club to a team that I think, as they wish to do, legitimately contends for a playoff spot in 2015?
I think one big bat is critical, and LaRoche is the kind of player who fills that bill. I think he'd be a nice number four hitter behind Giancarlo. I think when you look at all the doubles he's hit over the course of his career, he swings the bat very well in Marlins Park. What he brings defensively lifts the rest of the infield as well. It's been a long time, probably all the way back to the days of Derek Lee, since the Marlins have had an elite defensive first baseman, and that makes a big difference. I think you can still look to add more offense, though. Second base is a position where the Marlins have not gotten a lot of production in recent years, and the free agent market's not great at second base. Maybe you swing a trade there. And one of the things that I began to sense really yesterday in listening to Michael Hill and Dan Jennings and others talk is, whereas in the past the Marlins have been very reluctant to part with any of their upper-level pitching prospects, they may now, as they move more into a win-now mode, be willing to talk about making a deal that would include one of those upper-level pitching prospects if it could bring back potentially a second baseman or another big bat somewhere. And I also do think they're going to make every effort to bring in at least one more starting pitcher, somebody with a pretty good track record who's going to log 200 innings for you or somewhere close to that and give you a good chance to win every 5 days, take some of the pressure off some of the younger developing pitchers in this rotation, who in some cases have already accomplished quite a bit at the big league level, and also buy a little bit of time until Jose Fernandez comes back, because when you add Jose to this rotation in June or July, if he's anywhere near what he was before the Tommy John surgery, that's a huge, huge addition.
Absolutely. Well, Glenn Geffner, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.